This week on RSBNB Update, it's development update time, and we have a date. A date when we'll learn more about necromancy. We also have news on upcoming updates, including the Woodcutter's Grove and Max Cash Limit Increase, both coming soon. Then we cap it off with your questions. This is RSBNB Update, episode 932, recorded Friday, April 28th, 2023. Developments of the Dead. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Updates. Just Tannis and myself in this week.
Thank you, Shane. Yeah, quiet week, but we got a lot to talk about.
We do, and for people who are maybe hearing this, you're catching the back end of a seasonal allergy attack. Now that everything has melted here, it's getting to a point where, well, it's going to be that time of year. Noses are going to be running, sneezes are going to be happening, and oh boy, it was an adventure last night. Of course, people who are listening to the podcast today will know that it's coming out a couple hours later than normal, and the reason for that is that we delayed the show this week to have a discussion on the development update, they're calling it. They're not calling it a roadmap, per se. They're calling it a development update and a date in which we're going to get more information on necromancy, but all that and more in just a couple minutes. If you're joining us for the first time, I'm Shane12088. You can find Tannis in-game at Tannis79. And, of course, we also have our Discord at rsbnb.com/discord. Our friends chat is Bits Bytes. And we're just going to dive into this development update, talk about some patch notes, the wonderful Steel Series promotion, and some of your questions. So the first thing here that pops out for me is the Woodcutter's Grove and a new hatchet. Finally. Oh, my God.
How many times have we said, well, really what woodcutting just needs is maybe another training method and a hatchet, and maybe we're done.
and let's be real, also make the trees non-competitive. I know there was a prototype of that in the game jam. I don't know where that's at. So
this would be a good time to put it in. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And I don't know what state that was at, because sometimes it's hard to tell when you're looking at a prototype if this is, you know, just a proof of concept or if this is something that can easily be refined into an actual update. You know, from my history in software development in the past, did you know that one of the easiest ways you can actually make a prototype for something like an app is to sketch it out with pencil and paper and then have, in effect, folding open doors and sliding pieces of paper to show what the interactions are going to look like? That's one of the easiest ways to make a prototype. And that's why I wanted to highlight that what we saw with the woodcutting update that made the trees non-competitive, it could have just been one of those very early prototypes, in effect, gluing things together, showing how it might look and not have any of the necessary underpinnings on that. So I just wanted to underscore there that even though we've seen it, there's nothing to say that's going to be included in any of this.
Yeah, no, that's complete speculation on my part, because, you know, if not the woodcutting spot, then, you know, there is going to be a spot later for Game Jam that we'll talk about.
Yeah.
So I could see it coming, you know. It would be a good time, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, so the Woodcutter's Grove is where we're going to start here. We're going to kind of bounce around here. That's the first thing that drew my eye. With this, it's going to be taking part of within Ford 4 and 3, and it's going to involve building a new woodcutting training area, upgrading the fort with a new woodcutting building, and the tier 80 hatchet that you'll be able to earn, underscore earn. So I'm wondering if this is going to be player made then.
Is this our masterwork? Or
That would be an interesting idea. Have it use similar mechanics to the masterwork mechanics, maybe. in terms of, you know, just you being know, able
our,
to...
Our overload, our masterwork.
Yeah,
our,
yeah, that's what you mean by that. Not that you would, you know, use the same process as masterwork, just that it would fit in the same vein as overloads, mm-hmm. as masterwork, as some of the other high-level skill training methods that are out there.
High-level reward particular to that skill.
Yeah.
That you can do through playing.
Yeah. But they also say they'll be making some balancing improvements to the woodcutting experience alongside the update, too.
Well, we could use a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, anyone that did that going through, refresh start, you remember, like, we learned two things. Number one, woodcutting is still slow. And number two,
overgrown idols.
Yes. Yeah, we totally didn't give them enough credit when they came out.
No. Also in May, and that's coming in May. The woodcutting update is coming in May. Also in May is the max cash limit changes that follows on from the death cost rework earlier this year, where this will enable max cash to go above the current limit of 2.14 bill.
That's pretty cool, but can I get a loan, Shane? I need to try it.
I mean, I have a bill on hand right now, and if that would put you over, maybe we can do some testing on that.
Okay.
Maybe I'll charge you some interest along the way.
I was just gonna say, like, how can I make this grow in my favor? Let's talk. I need a RuneScape financial advisor.
Yeah. That'd be nice. Also, there's the quest called Dead and Buried, which will bring even more Ford upgrades and storyline revelations. And the interesting part about this is that they say, well, the current Ford 4 and 3 content season will be coming to a close after these two content updates, being the Woodcutter's Grove and Dead and Buried. Ford 4 and 3 still has stories yet untold. You won't need to have completed the first Ford 4 and 3 season to play Necromancy, but we do recommend starting your Ford building adventure so you're ready for what's to come in the future. So after the Woodcutting Grove and Dead and Buried, the current Ford 4 and 3 series is done.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think that's about the cadence we want, because I remember when they first announced Ford 4 and 3, they were saying maybe a year long. I honestly think these shorter ones where we can, in effect, get them in bite-sized pieces of content, I think that's the way to go. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll feel a lot more filled out, you know, by then. And more than anything, we got... Now we kind of know what to expect. We kind of know what it is, right? It's more of a hub than just training, but it's starting to flush that out a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's a convenience center. It's like, this is how you... This is how you do PRIF without doing PRIF, right? Like,
and it also goes back to what you say as well. They could have dropped this entire chunk of content in April or May.
Yeah.
In the entire thing from the start to the end and called it an expansion or a DLC like other games do, right? They could have done that. Yep. But they know that you can't do that with the RuneScape audience because everybody loves their weekly or, in this case, monthly updates. But I think this is going to be the second case study for RuneScape content that you could easily package into that expansion type model.
Well, yeah, and the other reason is RuneScape players are freaking crackheads that aren't going to stop until they've done all of it.
Yeah.
Like, now, I got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, hey, you could put this
myself
out, like, you could put this out in the first week, and there would be people who would have completed it then.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and then you would have, you know, just odd patch weeks for, you know, 3 months in a row, and then that doesn't really fit the cadence of RuneScape, and it doesn't really fit the cadence of the RuneScape community. But I think the point to take away from this is that Jagex isn't for two content releases in a row has actually been able to hit the mark on this and deliver content that's themed over a series of months and hit the goalpost that they were laying down, which is not something you could have said around the Menaphos time.
Very true.
Yeah. And, you know, I realize, and I feel like when they mentioned Necromancy at the start of last year. Everybody thought it was going to come in on an archaeology timeline, like March, April, May. But if you look at this development update right now, it says May is the necromancy reveal on May 30th, the max cash limit update, and double XP. And then in spring and early summer, you have the Woodcutter's Grove, the Dead and Buried Quest, a community hintless ninja strike, game jam releases, and the beach. And then new skill and new season, necromancy. So we got a number of things to happen in between now and then. May 30th, we have the necromancy live stream where they're going to talk more about it and actually start revealing information about that, how the skill works. We're going to have to keep our eyes open for that one, because it's going to be kind of the first glimpse at the mechanics of that. And I hope they're able to sell it in such a way that it raises enough hype. But the problem that they always need to watch out for, and we know, they got to manage those expectations. Mm-hmm. Because if not, then that's what can, in effect, send an update down the path of no return, as we've seen many times. You can ship an update that has no technical snafus with it whatsoever, but if the community expectations are not met, well, then you're going to have a problem. So,
yeah.
That's my biggest concern going forward for when that happens on May 30th.
I almost rather not know anything at all until it drops. Like, I've really been leaning so much more that way. Like, even with just everything, even with TV shows, like, I'm like, I don't want to hear or see nothing about anything, like, until it drops. And I know that's hard for people that are probably going to be racing this and that, but it always, I mean, think about it. Like, it always throws the markets just nuts, which I guess you're going to get anyway, right? No matter when it drops. Yeah. But I don't know. Strange things happen when information comes out here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
too much information comes out around here.
We have a question on what we want from Necromancy. We'll get to that after this development update. And I think the most important thing that we'll say regarding necromancy right now, manage expectations, 100%. Don't let the community drive the narrative, because you can totally see this happening, that they reveal some stuff in a YouTube video on the 30th, and then certain elements of the community pick out, you know, a few key phrases, a few key buzz sentences from it, and then, bam, you have an entire narrative forming on necromancy that didn't need to form. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would not be good if that were to happen. So I'm trying to, and the reason I paused there is because I wanted to say something else, but I didn't necessarily want to go that full direction. But I think the listeners can kind of imagine where I was going on that, right?
I think we know. I think we're picking up what you're putting down.
It's a profanity-laden thing I was going to say, but I'm not going to say it because I don't want the editing, and I don't want to, in effect, hurt anyone by saying it. But it's there. There's also a huge section in this development update on acting on community feedback. And with that comes the Fractured Staff of Armadale and Anime Dead Rebalance Beta. Hmm. And it's actually interesting language they use in this, because they said, "Thank you to everybody who provided such constructive, detailed thoughts in response to the changes. The care you put into these responses sparked plenty of conversation on where to go next and some bigger topics beyond, like PVM accessibility through tanking."
Hmm.
And with feedback, they've further developed these changes to take on board comments while still ensuring they do some critical rebalancing to the Fractured Staff of Armadale and Anime Dead, and building on all of your great contributions. This time we want to take things one step further by letting you get your hands on this with the next round of changes for yourself. On May 4th, we'll be releasing Beta Worlds, where you'll be able to test our revised proposed changes to the Fractured Staff and Anime Dead. All you'll need to participate is your existing RuneScape account to copy over onto the server, though you'll need to have a Fractured Staff and our Anime Dead if you're looking to playtest the changes, which is, I think, is so important because then you have the stakeholders commenting and working on it, and you don't just have everybody going in to pick up all the weapons like we had in the Weapon Diversity Beta and building a narrative through that.
Well, yeah, I mean, EOC, even if you want to take it back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, anybody can get anything.
Yeah, well, there. Well, they kind of had to do that with, you know, some of the rebalancing that happened with that. But, yeah. And I'm wondering at this point, we'll probably have to take a step into the beta because you have been in the past doing some PVM with the Fractured Staff, or not Fractured Staff, but Crypt Bloom and Anime Dead, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, and that
staying alive.
and that also throws a wrinkle into our podcast stuff here because May 4th is a Thursday and that's our normal recording day. So we'll have to talk about that for next week, what we want to do with that if we want to.
Ooh, that does throw in a wrinkle. I'm off that day.
Okay.
It's a religious holiday.
Oh?
Yeah. It's the Force Day.
Oh my god.
What? I'm a follower of the Force.
Do it. Say it. Say it.
May the Force be with you.
Thank you. Get it out of the way. All right. Then there's the community hit list. They're already working on the first strike. From this with the Ninja Strikes and for comp trimmed requirements. They mentioned the poll that's taking place in game right now and the results that are coming through that. And then other updates, we got game jam improvements, including the Karamja graphical updates, will be arriving in May. The beach will be in June, which is a bit earlier than normal. So what this does is, I think that puts Necromancy in what, July, probably? Based on this, I'd guess. But the most important is we have double XP between May 19th and May 29th. Which kind of fits and falls where we thought it was going to be. So. Then they also mentioned that Mod Doom will be returning with more live streams, including deeper discussions on combat topics. That'll be interesting to know where they go with that and what the frame's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important with those that the frame be focused on the beginner to intermediate level, because I know through our discussions we have with our community and how our community is around here, the people who are beginner level PVM and the people who are intermediate, those people are not served, and there has actually been a request amongst our community for more content surrounding that level of PVM, which isn't something that's really talked about that much. And there will also be a return of Q&As. So,
well, we have a CM now. So
we do. And
that's good.
And with that, I mean, we mentioned we have the Necromancy announcement coming on the 30th of May, right? And I think now is probably a good time to dive into this. We have a listener question pertaining to this week from Alan Mantium, and you know it's interesting that we had this question this week when this development update was going to come out, because we were just going to do a questions week this week. But then with this development update here, we felt it was necessary to actually talk about that on the show. But the question from Alan Mantium is, what would you like to see out of Necromancy? Functionality gaps to fill or its role in the skill list? And the way this was framed in the development update is that the 30th is the first look at Necromancy. It's going to be a video that's shown on YouTube. And then the next day, the developers will take part in a live stream talking with the community and answering questions from the reveal about necromancy. So the question that I have, I think, from this, and Alimantium has, is, you know, where do we go from here? What gap does necromancy fill? And I feel like we kind of discussed this a bit when it was first announced in December, in that everybody thinks it's going to be combat support related, and you had some interesting thoughts on that back then. Do you still feel that way, that it's definitely got to be combat support related? How are you feeling now that we've had, you know, a few months to think about it?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I don't think a lot of the focus or choices to look into abilities and some combat balancing has been out of the blue. I think it's, you know, maybe laying the groundwork for some things. And I almost want to see it filling the gaps I want to see it fill is like where summoning kind of falls short, or yeah, where I don't know. I feel like it can really help the combat, what we would have known before as the combat side of summoning, but
yeah. And
yeah.
And see, that's the interesting thing, is that when you look at this, when you look at what we have in the summoning seal, you could say ancient summoning could very well almost be necromancy, yeah, because you have to kill something in order to get the familiar, but you're not necessarily reanimating anything. You're not bringing anything back from the dead.
Right. And there's a game loop yet to be revealed,
yeah,
right? So
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how. I mean, I'm less sure of how it's going to work now than ever before, but kind of like that.
Yeah, and I mean, what we know is that some of the people who were working on archaeology worked on necromancy, so that's positive.
Yeah, I mean, and that was one of the strongest things about archaeology was the, you know, the core loop that it was feeding you through.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of those things.
And Mod Timbo's wonderful balancing of everything within it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and look, this is combat, so.
But does it have to be combat? Like, I feel like that's what everybody's saying, but I don't think it necessarily has to be that. Let me paint a picture for you. If you like.
Wait a minute. I just got a vision of like.
Okay. Lay that vision out and tell me about your combat support oriented angle that you're seeing right now. Then I'll tell you how I see it.
Okay. Well, of course I see zombies that can fight with you and go like a horde in traditional, but I just got a glimpse of zombies doing stuff, going around your house, waiting on you like your demon butler did. And what if they brought you a an exercise bike on the spot? I mean, what if they did other things? I still think there has to be a combat component to it.
Of course.
And of course that part will be super back and forth and this and that and balance. But what if it was a true support skill that supported all the skills?
And you just took it exactly where I was going to go with my vision of it, Tannis. You took necromancy exactly
maybe
where I was going to go.
Maybe you beamed it into my brain, James.
So
I don't know.
So the way I see archaeology is that archaeology is uncovering relics and artifacts from the past, right? To understand the past. It was the lore skill. And that gave us things around the periphery of other skills through the combat system, the relic system, the skilling system, the artisan skills, so on and so forth, right? The relics gave us archaeology's tip into other skills. Now, my idea is that what if necromancy kind of takes the same general angle where rather than excavating artifacts like archaeology did, what if necromancy is studying the past, studying the dead of the past, things that are gone for ages, right? And then unearthing the knowledge you get from necromancy by studying the dead, what if that then is hooked into all sorts of different skilling mechanics? You could make necromancy a support skill, not just a combat support skill. You could make it a support skill for gathering. You could make it a support skill for your artisans. You could make it a support skill for thieving. You could make it a support skill maybe even for dungeoneering if they wanted to do that, though that might be kind of difficult given how dungeoneering is siloed in its own thing. But the point I'm getting is that necromancy in its name probably just has to be examining and learning knowledge through the dead, is what I would say. And then sure, you could have your classic necromancy combat focus of animating the dead, right? But I think that would be a little bit too easy, because we already have summoning for that sort of thing in game. And if they wanted to make new familiars, I don't think it would make sense to have combat-based followers from necromancy when you already have something like summoning in game. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me. I mean, I think it'll be a component of it. I don't think they won't do it. I mean, I think it's going to be a component, but I really didn't think of it being a support skill.
Yeah, I just see it right now as like a generalist support skill, kind of like the way invention was, but more through of, you know, a getting out there in a world and kind of understanding the dead sort of way, rather than just, you know, conjuring things up on your invention work table, which, you know, let's be honest, invention right now is one of the most confusing skills in game. So that's my hope. It's a generalist support skill. Not something that is necessarily having to be combat focused. And I mean, they could throw us for a loop, right? They could make necromancy the ninth combat skill. They really could if they wanted to. And make combat go up to level 150, for example, or, you know, 146 if they did it the same way as prayer and summoning does it, right? But at the same time, you'd have to really say, okay, well, if we're going to do that, we got to make sure that it comes in on the same side of being able to deal damage as the other skills, like summoning, right? And then you're going to have this odd competition between summoning and necromancy if you went that way. So for me, that's why I feel it's not as likely to have it be the stereotypical version of what people see as necromancy, of bringing things back from the dead and having them fight for you. I don't see that happening, because I feel like that's too close to summoning in terms of identity.
It absolutely is.
And I mean, if they were going to do that, take summoning to 120 and make that the training method to 120, right?
Yeah, I think we finally always thought it was combat support, but I'm just tonight
support.
The general support.
Because we say archaeology is a gathering skill and the relics are in effect the cherry on top, right? But what if instead necromancy was a support skill, where your main thing was those things that reach out and support the other skills, right? And I think that's one way to go. I think also, like we said, the stereotypical way of including necromancy as a combat skill is also another way to go, but that's a bit confusing. So I'd say that's probably the least likely. And then I think the third way that nobody's really talked about yet, that we haven't talked about, is the elite skill route, tying it in to magic, prayer, and summoning, which, I mean, I hope it's not an elite skill. I hate the elite skill XP curve.
No, they said it wouldn't be elite skill.
Oh, they
skill.
Did?
Oh, earlier. Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Earlier.
Okay, I must have missed that.
Yeah, no, it's not that. Now that you mention it, though, I was thinking, I'm like, would it be so unheard of, though, to require, you know, levels in those skills only.
Well,
not have an elite,
no.
Not have that curve.
No, because if we actually go back to the development update from this week, I don't remember where it was in here. Yeah, here it is. You won't need to have completed Fort 4 and 3 season to play Necromancy, yep. But we do recommend starting your fort building adventure so you're ready for what's to come in the future.
Yep.
You won't need to have completed the Fort 4 and 3 season. And we know that the Fort 4 and 3 season right now as it is, just like the previous Legacy of Zamorak season, had really low requirements around it in terms of getting into it with the quests and whatnot. So I think we can safely throw the elite skill idea of necromancy out the window at this point.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, and then I want to address the other part of Alimantium's question in terms of where it in effect sits on the skill list. We talked about that one, but in general, out of necromancy, I think the biggest thing we need to highlight with this is that it's either got to hook people in right off the bat, like archaeology did with the pre-release content that was all there and whatnot, or the expectations have to be managed impeccably. Because I hate to say it, but I think community-wise, I think globally, we're in a far more volatile position now than we were in 2020, where even the RS community is going to be more prone to snap sooner than they were in the past. And that's why it's so important to manage these expectations. Because, I mean, imagine a world where necromancy is announced and various different community narratives take place around what it is and what the problems of it might be without actually getting their hands on it, without people actually getting their hands on it, right? And
dude, I'm afraid of that every single year. It feels more.
It's
like
getting
that
worse year after year in our community and in real life. And that's my biggest worry about necromancy, is that we'll see this video on the 30th and people will hate it. And then the live stream from the following week won't answer the questions that need to be answered about it. And then it's going to be forever tainted, like updates in the past, like Metaphos.
It's almost like you've seen this play out before, I know.
I hate to say it, but I feel like the success of Necromancy rides on this video that we're getting on the 30th of May and the subsequent live stream. I hate to say it, but I think that's how it's going to go.
Well, and I feel like there used to be a certain place where like opinions kind of hung out, you know, more on the negative side.
Yeah.
And now it feels like they're everywhere. They're everywhere. It's like there is an invasion of turds and punch bowls around here. And I don't think it matters if it's good on one hand. Because I think what will generate maybe buzz or clicks is going to be like, oh, can you believe they did this? My God, tune in later.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. And so it's going to be, you know what? Maybe for the first time, this isn't on Jagex. It's going to be as good as what the community allows it to be.
But that's not fair. That's not fair to
Jagex. No, hell no, it's not fair.
No, it's not.
Yeah. No, it ain't fair at all. But
and we're not saying that the community needs to jump up and down and automatically say Necromancy is going to be a grade A update after they see the video and live stream. We're not saying that either. All we're saying is that those two pieces of content, those two media pieces of content that are coming out, need to sufficiently set the expectations for the community of what they're getting with the skill and not open up a path for incessant criticism and nitpicking without actually touching the skill. Because if you get the skill on launch week and you discover that it needs, you know, like a 3,200% buff in XP, or that it needs to be completely rebalanced, or that it doesn't have content beyond level 73, then yes, then at that point, sure, it's time to have that discussion. But not before we actually get the skill on our hands. And for the record, the two skills I'm talking about that needed to have that done were Invention. That's the one that got like the 3,200% buff after a while, I believe it was. Like the first 3 or 4 days, they changed the complete way you trained with it. That was it, yeah. Right? And then, Hunter also had nothing beyond level 73 for like the first year and a half. And, you know, heck, we even had Invention Batch 2 that kind of did the same thing on that. So, I mean, if Necromancy lands in that kind of category, then sure, by all means, bring the pitchforks out. But I feel like at this point, it's just going to be a battle of managing expectations.
Probably. Was it last week when we had the stream about, you know,
how to talk to a JMod? Yeah.
It's like keep those things in mind.
And again, I will say from last week, the people who needed to hear that live stream probably didn't hear it because they weren't going to watch it in the first place.
That's true. But hey, look on the bright side, everybody. Like, if you do provide that feedback in a constructive way, then you end up getting a beta to test out your anime dead impression staff changes.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than like, because those were both pretty measured responses from the community.
Yeah, they were. They were. And maybe the community will surprise us then with Necromancy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's true. But anyways, to recap that was a long-winded question, but thank you, Alan Mantium, for sending that in. I see it as going a more generalistic support way. I see the skill being a more generalistic support skill. Tanis was on the combat side of it, and interestingly enough, came around to the support side, right, as I was about to say that. And then we also talked about a potential third way where you could go elite skill, but based on what we see here in the news post, that probably is, you know, like a less than 1% chance of happening. And then the biggest thing that we want to see out of Necromancy is managed expectations by the marketing and CM team, because it is our feeling that the success of Necromancy will probably ride on what we see in the first reveal of it, because that'll set the general tone of it, right? Because, I mean, go back to when Archaeology was first announced. We got the name, and then following from that, we see Mod Osborne and Mod Timbo and whatnot actually out in the field doing archaeology things, right? And then that kind of just hooked everybody in, and we knew there was going to be lots of lore to uncover, so it was driven by the lore community and such, so... And there's also the lore angle from Necromancy, too, I guess, that we haven't mentioned. It seems as though that every piece of content we get has lore associated with it, so that could be interesting as well. So,
yeah. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to fast forward time about a month and see where we landed on this. But hey, I mean, if we're completely wrong, then we're completely wrong. So... That's the point of these. That's the point of these development updates. It gives us a chance to dive in and apply our collective, 45 years of knowledge on this game right now. So.
That's insane to think about it.
Oh yeah, it really is. I could probably push it up to 100 years if I included the entire production team.
Yeah.
So. But I want to thank our Patreon supporters for this week, because you guys are wonderful and you guys allow us to do what we do here, the results that we have from the survey. Thank you so much for putting those out. We're doing our round table this weekend. Patreon supporters, if you're listening to this podcast after the fact, you'll be able to find it on the feed at patreon.com/rsbnb, and we'll have gone through the results of the survey at that round table. But this week in particular, I'd like to thank Alfie S, Amos Reed, Andrew C, Arvids L, Beekeeper Steve, Big Huge Rat, Chunk the Monk, Cycle RS, Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jeebus, Jesse W, Keski, Ling01, Mohan V, Nate the Great, Nick G, Ricky A, RS Nerdherd, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Shirt Pants, Dabiv, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Zant, and Zazicon. Thank you everybody for your support. This truly means the world to us. And you guys have also just finished voting in the poll for the next monthly bit, which will be the evolution of transportation in RuneScape. So we'll go from how we got having a world with no lodestones to now, well, you can basically get anywhere within a few seconds at any point in the world by way of lodestone or teleport, and run energy doesn't really run out. So we're going to have a look at how we got there and what that means for the general world of RuneScape. And if you want to hear that episode when it arrives in early May, all you have to do is head on over to patreon.com/rsbnb and sign up for as little as a dollar a month. For that dollar a month, you gain access to the upcoming monthly bit and a back catalog of 55 plus monthly bonus shows that each dive into a single topic covering something RuneScape related. We've talked about things like our daily scape tier list, the skill tier list, and the most recently, part two of the skill tier list, just to name a couple of them. But we've also talked about things like legacy combat before and holiday events and so many other topics like that, so many niche topics. If that sounds interesting to you, check it out at patreon.com/rsbnb. And that's all for the dollar a month starting tier. If you want to go up one tier, we have the $3 a month VIP tier, which for that, you'll get a special VIP rank on Discord, which includes chat channel access and a mention on the podcast at the start of the month and high quality stereo version of the show. And if you want to give the ultimate gift, we have our insider tier for $5 a month, where you'll receive a shout out on the podcast each and every week. And with that, gain exclusive access to the outtakes that we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And that is, of course, fun, getting to hear all those clips before everybody else. But nonetheless, a big, huge thank you goes out to our Patreon supporters for allowing us to do what we do here. You guys mean the world to us for these pieces of content. They're so fun to produce. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. Next question, next listener question. Let's do another listener question. Normally we do them all at once, but let's just kind of meander on through another one here before we get to the patch notes. Will there ever be a point that you would take a break for a time or completely give up RS for another game? I feel like this is walking into a minefield.
What is that?
Because we say it, then it's going to happen one day.
Oh, what? Okay, number one, when people say you don't quit RuneScape, you just take breaks, that's true, dude. It's truer for this game than any other game I've ever played.
That's true. That's like, true. I mean, our forums and Discord are a case study for that.
Dude, we got 20-year veterans. Come on now. Like, it's... This game is almost unique in that way. So you not only are you going to take a break at some point, you should take a break at some point. You know, that's, would I ever quit forever? No, there was never, will never happen, could never. Until this sumbitch burns to the ground, I will be here. So, will I be playing other things? Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like RuneScape has become a game that you can really play while playing other things, if I'm being honest. Unless you're doing, like the highest of tier PVM.
Well, it's just in how... Look... There was something that came out just this week about playing RuneScape your way. It really has become, or and is, I think, even more like even
oh, you're talking going about the newest trailer.
Yeah, it really is kind of have it your way. If I'm laying in bed, I can't play a set in front of your desktop kind of game.
Yeah.
Right. I can still play some RuneScape though if I'm going to. That keeps me involved and in the game, no matter what. I'm still interacting with RuneScape, right? So you're not going nowhere.
Yeah, that's fair.
You can run, but you'll be back. Once you go RuneScape, you never come back, or you never go away, or you always come back. I don't know. We'll make it up.
I feel like I would wind up taking a break if I had nothing left to do, and the goals were too far away. Like, I have to be honest. I got comp 1 year ago this month, and since then it's really been just a let's play the game 3-act track kind of thing. That's what it's been for me, if I'm being honest.
Except for fresh start.
Fresh start, right?
You was into that. I mean, can't talk about it enough.
Yeah,
how much things like that really make.
That's true.
Long-term players.
That's true.
Be like,
oh. And it was such a good learning experience. And I'll reiterate that, if the goals were to dry up, and it's so interesting how things just move and kind of meander on. I've been having weird thoughts about, is it time to start considering going for, trim or Master Quest or 120 all? And I feel like 120 all is the least interesting out of those, because I want to, skill to 120 with skills that have content for 120, if that makes sense.
I think, dude, you're a quester, man.
I know. Why wouldn't you? I know.
I mean,
I know.
And because it does have those, annoying combat things that doesn't need to be on a Master Quest game.
But you can do those. That's not a problem for me anymore.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's it, dude. You got to.
You're
like a leader in Clan Quest.
I don't want to make commitments on air.
Do it, Shane.
No, I'm not making commitments on air. Break if and when the goals and the content would dry up. Content, in effect, dries up after you have completed most of the comp and trim achievements for it. And you know what the interesting part is for me? Is that with most of the content that's come out over the last year and a bit, I've inadvertently, throughout all of that, done most of the comp and trim requirements on them. Well, I have done the comp requirements, but I've done most of the trim requirements too in all the new content.
Damn.
I think the only one I haven't done is the huge list of flash events. So.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think that's how you probably have to do it if you're hunting, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely give up on RS for another game. Yes. If I was to start a podcast for that other game, that would become more successful and bigger than Update. I hate to say it, but that's the answer to that one right now.
Oh, shit.
There was a time in 2016 I did briefly consider starting the Star Trek Online version of this podcast, but I didn't, which at that point in time might have been a good thing to do given the direction the game has taken at the time and everything about that. But it's not, it's a game that has our favorite starships. It's a starship simulator game. Mm-hmm. But it's not as dynamic, and it doesn't have as big of a breadth as RS does. Because you level to 60, 65 now. You complete all the pieces of content that are available, all the episodes that are available. You complete the reputation systems for all your characters, and then you do dailies. Whereas with RS, it's actually still keeping me engaged more than Stowe is on a day-to-day basis, believe it or not. Stowe's the thing that keeps me engaged on a day-to-day basis is their time-limited events. So, to go back, it would be that if the content would be ever drying up for RS and the goals would dry up with that, or completely giving up on RS for another game. If that other game spawned into existence a podcast that was more successful than Update. Done.
There you go. Heard it here first.
Yeah. So with that, we do have some patch notes this week. The Edema room is now accessible with the suitable Slayer tasks, such as ghosts, zombies, undead, creatures of Daemonheim or Edema selected. This was not the case beforehand. And I think there was an issue raised with this on the Unwelcome Guests week. Next, doubled the chance of receiving special Raptor assignments, with the chance now set at a base of 1 out of 50. The chance to receive the special Raptor assignment still increases by 1 for every task, every consecutive task that you complete.
Nice.
Have you, how's this going for you?
Fine. Once I, right before someone had posted this in the RuneScape chat and Discord, and like 2 days before they posted it, I had figured out, wait a minute, why is it asking me if I want challenge? I had him turned off. So I didn't do it with him, but I don't know. I had him off.
Oh my God.
So that's why, like, I just kept doing task after task. Like, as soon as I turned it off, it was like the next task.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay, well, that's something everybody should check then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zamarigal's undead are now correctly tracked and will show as one kill per enemy, which I had to actually look this up, because you remember when we were in there, I mentioned that the armored phantoms were taking 5 away, right? Mm-hmm. Well, as it turns out, following this update, if you're on a Raptor special Slayer assignment, they reduce the count by 4, but now they reduce the count by 3.
Okay.
So it appears as though that the abyssal counting mechanics that we had last year were just put onto the new Zamarigal's tasks, and that has been fixed this week. So just a word of warning out there for anybody who is taking part in this. Some more changes on the skill peer accommodation front. Constitution requirement on abilities has been lowered from 10, allowing them to be used by 9 Constitution accounts. This includes things like regenerate, sacrifice, transfigure, revolution, special attack, ingenuity of the humans, demon slayer, undead slayer, limitless. That's a weird one. Slayer's insight, Curadel's favor, and the essence of finality. You used to have 10 10 constitution to be able to use one of those, but a 9 constitution account could not. That's neat. And then to accommodate players who wish to lower their XP to a specific value for sentimental reasons, when choosing a minor reset, Nastroth now has a prompt to enter the specific XP value that you'd like.
Oh, Lord.
What?
I don't know, but I'm sure somebody can do something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not seeing what the use case with this. I'm not seeing the use case for this. Somebody would have to paint it for me who has been in this boat before. But, I mean, 77 maybe? 31?
69?
That would still be a level 1. It's under 83 XP. So there you go. Also, in terms of some engine changes this week, improved the visual quality of water effects. And I was actually having a look to see what these were. And if you look at, you know, a large standing body of water, like the water around Catherby, for example, you're not going to see too much of a change on this. But if you go to somewhere like the River Lum, oh my God, the water actually flows now.
Huh.
It's actually flowing like a real river.
What about the ducks? Are the ducks okay, Shane?
The ducks are swimming against the current.
That's pretty. They're exercising. They're exercise ducks.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. I never thought of that. But, you know, it really just, and, you know, this actually got me thinking this week, because I, for a couple hours, had, you know, been on RS, and then I looked at the water effects, and I, you know, switched on over to ESO for a bit. And I thought, you know, RuneScape, aside from waterfalls, RuneScape actually has better water quality than ESO right now. And I never thought I'd be able to say that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't see that? Or you don't think that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to play around.
Okay. And there is also a fun little graphical glitch at the water mill by Lumbridge, where the rotation of that kind of got messed up in terms of where they were rotating. So that kind of happened this week as well with this one. But Chrome OS support has been removed for, you know, the few people who tried to play RS on a Chromebook. I don't feel like this is a big deal, and I feel like Chrome OS is probably something that's largely limited to schools these days.
So we need this to work. This is how kids get introduced to RuneScape, or I think, like, your generation anyway, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. See? My generation's a little older. We're playing Carmen Sandiego and Oregon Trail.
Oh. Out there
shooting buffalo.
Okay, those were
you
good.
Guys came up on RuneScape.
Yeah, that's right, and it did work in the web browser.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, they can pass it around on their phones now, right? Like, what's the age to give kids a smartphone? Like 12, 13?
My daughter has
one. Oh, okay.
We were holdouts, but yeah, she's 10.
Okay. And I mean, I guess you put the right parental controls on it. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it seems like about the time that you might let them go, like, stay over somewhere. It's
oh, okay.
About the time for phone.
Interesting. Wilderness threat items have been made untradeable by any means from one player to another on the Grand Exchange. Yes, that's good they did that, because that was potentially going to turn those into another class of weird rare items.
Oh.
And then the Build Them All achievement for building all the treasure trail Heidi holes will now consistently trigger when building the final one. Right on. All right, that's it for the patch notes, and right now I want to talk about SteelSeries. And it's actually quite interesting that Jagex does this, believe it or not, because this week's news post was entitled SteelSeries and Patch Week. And the reason for this is that there's a new SteelSeries promotion that allows you to get the new Steel Unicorn pet, the Battle-Worn Steel Unicorn. Promotion started on the 27th, and if you go to the SteelSeries website, download and install their SteelSeries GG software, and then get a key, you'll be able to get this pet, 15 Treasure Hunter coins, or Treasure Hunter keys, rather, and 200 rune coins, and 5 knowledge bombs. And the 200 rune coins is good. I'm going to buy a cosmetic upgrade with that, probably the whip, now that I think about it. But the pet...
good.
Yeah, yeah. The pet also looks really good, I must say. That, I think, utilizes the new metallic reflective materials that we've seen before. We've seen it before in a golden effect, but this one you can really see in the metallic effect too, so right on that. But I feel like we have to kind of just, you know, pay the SteelSeries due right now. A bit, because you and so many others around this podcast community use SteelSeries headsets, in particular the Arctis line, the Arctis 7, the Arctis 7 Plus, or the Arctic 7 X or P, depending on what console you have. And these headsets are, the headset I tell people to get if they want a gaming headset and to record the podcast on them. You can attest to them. What's your favorite feature of their Arctis line?
Well, I mean, I like that mine's cordless. That's
yeah, great. Yeah, they're all cordless, which is good.
Yeah, but that was different. I mean, it's the first cordless headset that I've had, and it's just overall like really good quality. It's light, small.
Yeah, yeah.
Compared to like my Logitech or something.
Yeah, and one of the things we also really like about it is the microphone. That's the microphone you're on right now. That's the microphone that Sirion uses. That's the microphone that Earth uses, and so many other people around the show here. And as you can imagine, I'm probably a little bit picky when it comes to microphone quality. But when I hear an Arctis headset, I know that it's an Arctis headset. And it's just something that I'll happily have people record the show with just because of the quality that it gives to the mid-ranges of the voice, where the most of your voice is. And something that we're all very acutely aware of is it's also really good at cutting out background noise as well. It's not going to pick up everything in the room. It's not going to pick up all your typing. So it's a really good headset. And
yeah,
I'm just, you know, fans of SteelSeries in general these days, and their software that you have to install, this GG software. I don't know what you're getting from it if you're just wanting the key. I'll be 100% upfront and honest about that. If you just want the key to get this RuneScape promotion and you don't have a gaming headset, you might not get too much from it. But there's actually some really interesting audio processing stuff in the software that you can dive into that works on, I think, any headset now, if I remember correctly, with that. So that might actually be something to look into as well on this. Maybe that's a segment we do, or a micro lesson going through the GG software, because I know the GG software is one of a kind in that regard as well. So maybe that's something I want to do later. But if you don't have a SteelSeries headset, I don't know if there's any other way to get the key other than installing the software.
I don't even have the software installed.
Oh, we should fix that. That might explain some of the things I'm hearing in your headset then.
there you go. Yeah, no, I got like the Logitech suite, but I don't have.
Okay, but you don't have any SteelSeries software installed.
Uh-uh.
Okay, that explains some things then that I've been hearing.
Mystery solved.
Thank you. But anyways, moving on from that, if you want the 15 treasure hunter keys, 200 rune coins, 5 knowledge bombs, and the battle worn steel unicorn, it looks like at this point you have to install the GG software to get that key. So I guess you could install it and then uninstall it. But maybe I'll look into, you know, seeing what kind of benefits this provides, even if you don't have a SteelSeries headset. So next up, a couple more questions. Question from Jade Gizmo. How do you keep yourself interested in game when training for long stretches like on Double XP? Which I think is an important question to ask given that Double XP is on the way. And, you know, I'm actually having to answer this question for myself again with my old school training tennis. Mm-hmm. Rock crabs.
Ooh. Okay.
No EOC combat. No AOE. That's the epitome of engaging gameplay right there. As you can imagine.
And
you know what I think it comes down to is, I think it just comes down to, at this point, using mobile where you can, using YouTube where you can, using podcasts where you can. And just, you know, if it's not one of those, maybe even just, you know, joining a Discord call or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about keeping yourself going on goals, like long stretch goals? Like, well, how are you doing 120 all?
Yeah, so I think this is the best way to do those kinds of goals. One, you need an overarching goal, right? Like 120 all. And then you kind of break it down a little bit further and you say, okay, I want to get X number, maybe XP per month. That's going to break down to this per week, you know, so on and so forth. That's especially true in like a double XP. You know, a double XP, because figure out what the goal is, what you want at the end of that double XP, and then kind of break it down on a daily level. And then you know, it's kind of like, you know, what you kind of got to do. And so you're not trying to, like, you know, you can't eat an elephant in one bite. And it feels a lot more manageable that way. Otherwise, sometimes things can feel daunting. You know, I mean,
I think we felt that in Fresh Start, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my friends, you know, what are we up to? 5.56 now? Yeah. Something like that. I don't think he wasn't set out for that. It was just every day played. Every day.
Oh my God.
Like every, you know, just this or that, what have you. And he called it piddling. You know, he'd piddle around, do this, piddle around, do that. And, you know,
maybe make some money along the way, kind of thing.
Yeah. Like you do, you know. So it's really about breaking it down, making it manageable for yourself.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And one thing I remember seeing a lot when Comp and Whatnot first came out is I remembered seeing a ton of people burning out. And, you know, you don't want that to happen.
No. No. Even if you feel like you got to, like if you're in a grind. Like, I remember, you know, I still remember the max grind back in the day. And
that felt tough, but that's, you know, that pales in comparison to 120 all or 5.6.
Right. And if I ever got to the point where it felt like it was a job to log in,
yeah,
then I didn't want to.
Yeah.
But even if it was just a grind or whatever, but I wanted to. You know, then I was cool. Like you don't feel like you're burning out when you want to. It's when you make yourself play and then it becomes more of a job than playing a game. That's when you really will burn out. Like you can't tell yourself like, oh, but I'm gonna miss my key. Oh, but
no,
I'm gonna miss.
No,
this.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. You gotta let yourself be like play when you want to play.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Because if you burn yourself out, there's no more RuneScape in the future. And I think for people in our community, and I know Jade fairly well enough, I think, that when it comes down to it at the end of the day, you much rather value what you had with RuneScape than if you, you know, pushed yourself to a point where you would burn out and you wouldn't be able to have any more of that RuneScape, if that makes sense. So, and you know, part of me also was like that on the comp push as well, is that, you know, there's all these things on comp and, you know, some of them were really, really annoying, like, temple trekking. Is that the one in the swamp?
Yeah.
Temple trekking. Yeah. That one in the swamp, and Dominion Tower. Absolutely, absolutely horrible. On that, and it just really broke down to, you know, feeling, okay, can we, you know, just talk through this, just sit there for, you know, maybe a few hours one day and then split that Dominion Tower up over, you know, four sessions or so and not necessarily break it down like that. And I think that's one way to do it. And I also felt the same way in the Mage Training Arena unlocking Bones to Peaches, which is, you know, downright horrible in present day RuneScape, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think those were my three most annoying comp requirements. And it wasn't a barrier because you're right. I wanted to go and do it. So I think what it comes down to is just accepting that you might not be able to do those things right now, but there might be conditions in the future where you feel okay with doing those under the right conditions with the right people and whatnot. And, you know, for shorter periods like double XP, like we said, it comes down to playing RuneScape on a second screen and finding the right YouTube video, finding the right podcast and whatnot. So thank you for that question, Jade Gizmo. And the last question this week is from Bryflex. And these are the exact words here. We did not edit this question, okay? The exact words read, why does Magic suck and why is range the Giga God style of choice? I'm a ranged user, Tanis. I know you like your Magic Legacy. Do you want me to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I think you can go first, Shane.
Okay. I'm going to be 100% honest and say I'm going to answer this two ways. I'm going to answer this in the real way, and then I'm going to answer this in the character way. So the real world way, is that all the combat styles are equal in terms of what you're able to do with them. Sure, you can optimize magic, hyper-optimize magic, to make it deal the most DPS at the high end, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you're going to wind up with being able to pretty much complete any content in-game with any of the combat styles. And as a result of that, I think it comes down to your own personal preferences with ranged. And, you know, much like Bryflex, I'm a ranged person, but I wouldn't put ranged in the Giga God style of choice column myself. My personal affinity to ranged comes from just the diversity of arrows, the diversity of crossbow types, and the diversity of weapons that it has. And, you know, when I say diversity of weapons, it means that we have things like our crossbows, we have things like our bows, we have things like our charge bows, and so on and so forth with that. And then you could even go back in the day and say that, oh, way back when we also had cannons as a ranged style, but of course that changed a bit with invention, where we now have a magic-based cannon and a melee-based cannon and whatnot. But I think you go with ranged, and I think the reason for me, why I like ranged and it's my style of choice, is that it has all the unique effects and whatnot when it comes to things like the bolts and what have you.
Oh, I think that's fair.
Uh-huh.
And I think in the real world, I don't know. Or I mean, like in, you know, for reals, I don't know. What I do know. Is what are you, some kind of little girly man hiding with your bow and your arrow, you little girly man? You're supposed to stand up there like a man with a shield and a sword and look your enemy in the eye when you stab him. Well, you just a coward's weapon, a bow. The only thing worse than that is a little magic wand. What are you, Harry Potter? No. Grab your sword and your shield.
And you know what the unfortunate bit about that is? Is I know there's tons of people who come from the D&D world who would love to play RuneScape with a sword and shield, but if you're optimizing DPS, you just don't do that.
Well, that...
Which, I mean, I guess you could, right?
No, probably not. I don't know.
Like, what would your DPS hit be if you went... If you just tried to do DPS and you didn't do, like, I'm saying, what if you went with, say, you know, the tier 95 Lang Sword and the tier 90 Shield? What if you just camped that throughout the entire fight of something? I'd be interested to know, number-wise, how much the DPS would go down on that. If you compare it to dual wielding and doing the full proper melee based thing with switchscape and whatnot, right? Because we all know at this point that melee has, you know, four or five switches if you're really wanting to be 100% optimal with it. And you know, I might ask some people who have the Melee set to say, hey, if you know, I was introducing someone to the game who wanted to play full sword and board from, you know, level 3 all the way up to level 138, would they still be able to complete that type of content? Would they be able to complete Reaper Crew? I think that's an interesting question, and I don't have the numbers on hand to answer that, because I didn't know that we were going this way, but I think that's one thing I'm going to do, is I'm going to ask some people about that, if that would be something that would be possible. I know it's not optimal, but I'm willing to bet it would certainly be possible.
I would be interested. I have the full Melee, whatever.
Right. And then you would really want to throw something into the mix. What about a Defender? And I feel like the Defender's kind of a wishy-washy state, where if you're using a Defender, you might as well just use a proper offhand at that point.
See, this is all for the numbers guys out there. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew we needed one of those this week with this question? I guess that's where you went with your answer on it. But in reality, I think we have a pretty fun game that we can say that none of the combat styles are, you know, absolute garbage, right? In that all the top feats have pretty much at this point been done with each of the combat styles, which I think is pretty good. So,
yeah.
Like I said, I have at this point pretty much max ranged gear. I don't have a Bow of the Last Guardian. I never did pick one of those up. But I've been eyeing the other combat types and wondering if it's time to, you know, pick up the rest of the unlocks that I need. So, but you know, ranged is just a comfy spot for me, so that's why I do that. Anyways, thank you everybody for your questions, and we do actually have something else on combat this week. We're back with another micro lesson. We decided last year to put the micro lessons on pause, but with the updates that came out a few weeks back to Rack, Piercing Shot, Punish, and Slice, amongst other things, we decided it was time to revisit the Action Bars micro lesson. So, Thaxi produced this micro lesson, and we're going to have a look at that. We're going to have a look at that right now.
In this micro lesson, you'll learn how to set up your Action Bar for PVM. A micro lesson is a short and to-the-point guide that teaches you a single concept about RuneScape. Just recently, Greater Sonic Wave was released, and a series of basic abilities got meaningful buffs. This changes how we build our action bars. In our first ever micro lesson, we laid out 3 rules and instructions for building your own action bars. We won't cover those again in this update video, but I highly recommend you check out that 5-minute video if you want additional context on how to build and test your own Revolution bars. It'll be linked in the description below. In this lesson, we'll show how our example bars from the first micro lesson have changed with the updates since then as we discuss each style. Starting with Magic, we have changes to Rack. Rack deals close to 2/3 more damage than it did before its rebalance, making it better than several of the abilities that previously outclassed it. This puts a shorter cooldown ability much earlier on our bar, allowing us to keep Sonic Wave where it should be according to its damage, rather than bumping it up to fill more slots in our rotation. With that in mind, here's updated bars as we move on to the next ability since our last micro lesson, Greater Sonic Wave. The damage bonus from the upgraded ability is nice, but not alarming for use in Revolution, 3-5% overall, which bumps it in priority some, but not too much. I'd say right above Dragon Breath. If you can use it on multiple targets with Greater Chain and Karoming, the priority jumps drastically, but that requires at the very least 1 manual input to do consistently. And as always, a reminder that unupgraded Concentrated Blast is an awful ability with Revolution, and definitely belongs at the very end of your Revolution window. Moving on to Range, the only big change to Ranged is in Piercing Shot, which had the same base damage jump as Rack, but split across 2 hits instead of 1, meaning 2 chances to activate poison, ammunition effects, and godbooks. This means that it's had a very big jump in usefulness. Power-wise, it belongs around the same level as Snipe now. It's a huge priority on such a low cooldown, and that allows us to safely remove some of the lower damage abilities from our bar without worrying about having all of our abilities on cooldown at the same time, meaning range can now work with a shorter revolution bar. I'd keep Ricochet or Binding Shot on bar just in case you do hit the end of your bar, but you can definitely get away with only having 4 to 5 basics, which is really helpful if you want to set up a Basics and Thresholds Revo Plus bar in the Revo window for mobile. I'll personally be placing Piercing Shot before Snipe when using back criminals or special arrows, and after Snipe when using standard ammunition or if I'm manually canceling my snipes. And I'll usually try to have 2 to 3 basic abilities following Piercing Shot to make sure that, again, I'm not hitting the end of my revolution window. Melee had a few abilities updated with the recent change, the first of which is Slice. Where other abilities got a really solid bump in power, Slice was in a pretty decent place before, so the buff here was just over 1/4 extra damage. This bumps it up to the level of Havoc or Smash, making a nice damage buff, but not really requiring any movement in priority on your bar. You could put it one slot higher on the bar if you really wanted to. Punish is the other ability that was recently changed. Punish's cooldown is now 8 times longer than it used to be, but in exchange, it deals threshold level damage to targets below 50% health. Targets above 50% health still take absolutely no damage from this ability, which makes it really hard to gauge its damage on a fully AFK revolution bar. With that long cooldown, I'd say put it on a manual button if you wanted to juice that finishing blow damage, but trust Melee's excess of higher damage basic abilities to carry you through and just don't put it on your bar otherwise. If you're looking to go a step further and make more adjustments based on your personally unlocked abilities, I updated the list of abilities prioritized by damage from the last micro lesson, and you can find the new document linked in this video's description. Take the top ultimate, 2 to 3 thresholds, and 5 to 6 basics you have unlocked from that list and place them in your bar in the order they appear in the document. You should end up with something pretty close to optimal. As a quick note, if you're a free-to-play player, the simple bars displayed in the video should still work for you. The only member skills they include are the damage-boosting ultimates, so just go ahead and replace those with the strongest ability you have available, and you should be set to go. As always, these micro-lessons are intentionally brief, and there will absolutely be situations where you need to adjust some things from the information delivered in this video, which is intended to just give you a solid foundation to build from. If you have any follow-up questions or comments on this micro-lesson, or RSBNB in general, let us know in the comments below, or find us on Discord or Patreon. If you found the video helpful, we always appreciate a like, and if you want to see some more content like this, please subscribe, and we'll catch you in-game.
Right on. I'm glad that we got a chance to sit down and do this. It was a long time coming and definitely needed to be done on that. I know lots of people in producers had asked for it. Lots of people in the community had asked for it. And we thought, you know, let's do it because the first one had a wonderful reaction to it. And so far, the reaction to this one has been pretty much the same. You have any thoughts?
Oh, I mean, these, I found them useful. I found the first one useful when I was building my bar in Fresh Start, because I never had to go from, you know, I just had them. I didn't have to think about any of the stuff behind it. It's just something I've had forever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One note I do want to make for people who are watching this is that if you look at our two-handed Melee advanced bar, there is a graphical error in this one, in that when it comes to the ability that is called Decimate, that one should not be on the two-handed advanced bar. That should be a cleave instead, as is on the simple bar. It's just a graphical glitch that was ported over from that one. So for people listening to the podcast or people who have seen this on the Melee two-handed advanced bar, swap out Decimate for Cleave. And I think that's the only real glitch that we saw. There have of course been other questions regarding Needle Strike and whatnot, but Thaxi has addressed those in comments and on Discord, where you can have a read through those if that's your cup of tea. But youtube.com/RSBNB for this micro lesson and all the other micro lessons. I don't know where the micro lessons go after this one. This one's kind of an ad hoc one, and we're kind of doing them on this case now, or the situation now, about if it makes sense to do them, we'll pop one out. So, all right, let's go through some achievements. So starting off on the 27th of April, we have Naranja, who got 99 Dungeoneering. Queen RuPaul also got 99 Dungeoneering. Todio 22 got 99 Farming. Then on the 26th, we have Mad Digger with 120 Magic. And on the 24th, we had Queen RuPaul with 99 Defense. And then on the 23rd, Mr. M got 99 Invention.
All right. And then moving on, we had Queen RuPaul with 99 Flair on the 23rd. We have Naranja, 99 Cooking on the 22nd. And we have Penticide with 99 Crafting also on the 22nd.
Right,
and then,
on.
Yeah, we also have Cyro Aces with 120 Fishing on the 22nd. Fire Afrit with 200 mil defense. Nice on the 1st. Or.
It's on the 20th.
Yeah, okay, 20th there. I'm like, I'm not sure. And then Queen RuPaul again with 99 Archaeology on the 20th. All right.
Nicely done, nicely done. And for pick of the week this week, we go to tech news again, because there's been a discussion recently, and we talked about this many times before on the podcast, about Apple's App Store and how Epic was going to be one of the first people to challenge Apple App Store rulings on this. And we actually have a ruling now from the court on this case, and that the court has actually upheld Apple's App Store policies with this. And this ruling came down on Monday in the case that goes back to 2021, in which Epic, who everybody knows makes Fortnite, said that Apple's online marketplace policies violated federal law because they banned third-party app stores on their operating systems. But the interesting part about this is that the appeals panel also upheld a lower court ruling in Epic's favor on California state law claims. And everybody was watching this story because it was looking like at some point Apple was going to be forced to add in third-party app stores. And many, many people thought that with iOS 17 being announced in June, that one of the big features for iOS 17 would be third-party stores. Microsoft would like that. Google would like that. Epic would like that. Steam would like that. But it appears that that's not going to happen. And there is also talk about maybe Apple allowing the sideloading of apps, which is allowing you to load singular apps onto a device without using an app store, because that might be a concession made to the EU. We don't know if that's going to happen with iOS 17. But the most interesting part about this is that the lower claim that was upheld actually paves the way for Apple to start allowing other people like Epic to direct people outside of the App Store to purchase subscriptions. Because as it goes, if you buy something from the App Store that is going to be tied to your Epic account, Apple still winds up taking a 30% fee on that. So something a lot of companies have done is they just increased all their prices by 30% to get the same amount of money to get around that App Store, Apple App Store thing. But going forward, there's going to be a way that companies are going to be able to say, hey, go to our website here, and then you're going to be able to go and actually purchase your subscription to whatever you're buying from the Epic Store, maybe even Netflix or something like that, without going through the App Store. And in general, it's interesting because Apple sees this as, in their own words from their legal department, a resounding victory on their front on this. And I remember we talked time and time again about, you know, whose side do you come down on? Do you come down on the side of Apple, or do you come down on the side of Epic and Tim Sweeney? When I know there's lots of people in the gaming world who don't like the Epic Store because of how widely it has expanded. Where are you today on Epic and Apple and this whole thing?
I'm not surprised in the least bit. I mean, typically the bigger company wins in court, but you know, I really think the Apple's gonna Apple, and you don't have to. You go into the ecosystem. Yeah. You have to be in it. So I don't. I'm still where I was, I think, originally. I like Epic. I like what they stand for. I like what they were doing with their store, and the way that they were trying to give back to creators more and this and that. So I'm by no means biased against Epic. I just, Apple's gonna Apple.
Yeah, yeah. And in many ways, I think the biggest thing that a lot of people didn't like was that you couldn't, you know, direct somebody in your app to go and, you know, say, hey, go to our website and buy this instead. Whereas now that's actually going to be allowed.
Yeah, and I always thought that that was what the big ask was. So, I mean, if you think about it, it seems like, I mean, everyone has something that they can say they won on. So, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting how many of these things are coming out of the EU. The potential of side-loading apps. The next iPhone is going to probably be USB-C only, and these sorts of things come out of the EU rather than our regulatory regimes here in North America. I mean, I think it's time for that, the USB-C thing, because I think everybody has USB-C now, and it's become ubiquitous over the years, just like USB-A initially was, and it's a more powerful connector in terms of what it can do, not necessarily just the power that it brings over the wire, so to speak. But going back to the ruling, I think it's interesting because I remember when we were doing Tech News week after week after week, it was always something that would come up: Apple, Epic, or Facebook, all in this same general realm of something antitrust related, something competition based related. And that's part of the reason we dropped Tech News as a week to week segment, is because it was just becoming a weekly segment on what Facebook, Apple, and all the other big ones were doing, because that was consistently there.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a follow up to that, but it's kind of different in a way, since people can, going into the future now, are going to be able to be directed outside of the App Store. So, but. That's the pick of the week, and the reason I bring this to everybody here is because this is going to have an impact on you. It's going to have an impact on everybody who uses apps on the App Store. So, what have you been up to on RS?
Getting ready for some double XP, making some more frames, getting the machines fired up. I know it's a ways away, but and in the meantime, trying to finish off those trophies, got a couple more to get.
Yeah, it helps when you realize that you had challenges turned off, right?
Yeah, helps a lot.
yeah. Okay, I've been yak tracking a lot, and to the point where I haven't even, you know, begun to consider doing trophies for Slayer and whatnot to complete comp.
And you're probably not even done yet.
No, I'm at task 51.
Yeah, dude, this yak track was...
And I've been following the task A.
Yeah, get it the yak out of here. This did not work.
And that leads me to the next question with this. Have people purchased more skips as a result of it? And then if the answer to that is yes, then you're wrong. It has worked.
Well... Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right.
So just let's keep that perspective in mind there. And I think it was Zerdones who mentioned it last week on the podcast, but Aya has actually been really good for my yak track on Hunter and construction and crafting, believe it or not. It prevented me from having to resort to proteins, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whenever you get something like a construction or a crafting or a hunter yak track task, I have to say Dream of Aya is the way to go. You might not think of it, but it is.
I would have thought.
And that's always another thing too. Always make sure that you stock up your Anachronia resources, and then you go to Aya and actually put them in the skilling station, so you can keep that amount going up. But at the high end is 350,000 XP. The skills there that you can use for this are Herblore, Fishing, Fletching, Hunter, Construction, and Crafting. So all very useful when it comes to those Yak Track tasks, believe it or not. Especially the Herblore and Fletching ones.
Yeah, make that a lot cheaper.
Yeah, so that's a tip that Zerdones laid out last week, and I utilized it and made the most of it this week. So very glad that I was able to do that. But I don't know if I'm going to make it, because we're under what? We're under 3 weeks to go. We're approaching 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I looked at it today. I was like, that might happen.
No, and for that reason, I actually looked at the reward list, and I thought, is there anything here that I'm missing that I actually want? And I think I got most of what I want. So I'm wondering at some point in the future if it's just time to cut my losses for other things I could be doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see how the ball bounces on that one. But nonetheless, I don't think there's anything else. We'll be back next week for another episode of Updates. So if you want that delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on a whole collection of podcast listeners out there. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Pocket Casts, Amazon, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And we're also on YouTube, of course, youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where you can find the video versions of the shows and the nibbles as well. We appreciate your like and subscribe. If you like what you see there, it greatly, greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
See ya.